Hello? There we go. I forgot to get the mobile mic earlier, and he was saying that that the battery may be bad. And I said, well, I feel better with this wall of security in front of me anyway. So so we'll just stay right here. That'll be all right. Good to see everybody this morning. And if you would, turn over to, we're going to look at Matthew 6:14 in a minute, but turn over to Luke 23. We're going to look at a passage there in a moment. And we want to start out this morning by asking a question and ask you, when was the last time you said two words, I'm sorry? Maybe you say it a lot. Some of us do. Most of us do, probably, because we mess up a lot. It's two words that can mean a lot, but may not, depending on we mean it when we say it, right? If we really have meaning in it when we say those two words, or if we just throw them out there to be saying it. What about I apologize? She tried to tell me not to do this, and I'll be all right. Someone once told me that when you get the chance to stand up here and give a message and give a lesson to somebody, that if you talk about something that hits home, I guess is the words, with you, then it has more impact. It's more effective. You get your message across better. And that's what I'm going to try to do today, because because it does hit home with me, and it does hurt like it does sometimes, you know. But we got to get through that stuff. And there's three words that we find in Luke 23 here. It's not in the form of three words here, but three words that we say. And that is, I forgive you. That's harder to say, isn't it? It's only three words. It's only one more word than I'm sorry or I apologize. But I forgive you is tough, isn't it? It's not hard to say. You know, it's three little words. But when somebody, when we're wronged or we're shorted or we're cheated or we're slighted or we're abused in some way or we feel like we have been by somebody, how hard is it to say that? I forgive you. It's not hard words to pronounce. It's not hard to say, but it's hard for us to do it. So I want to look this morning at forgiving and forgiveness for a minute. In Luke 23, we find Christ, they take him to the place called Calvary, and they crucified him, nailed him to the cross with the two malefactors, as it says here, on each side. And then we find the words of Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's our example. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is as the soldiers are drawing straws, basically, to see who's going to get the clothing that he was just wearing. And they're mocking him and spitting on him and giving him vinegar when he's thirsty and making fun of him. And he says, what? Forgive him. The Son of God, that could have, as the song we sing says, called 10,000 angels, that could have had God destroy it all at that moment for how he was treated. But yet he didn't do that. He went through it for you and me. And here he is saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is our example. Yet, when we get something done to us, we can't give it up, can we? we can't just say, I forgive you and move on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, where Jay read earlier, if you forgive men your their trespasses when they do something to you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? Look at that again. If we forgive, God will forgive us. But if we don't forgive, what? He ain't going to forgive us. That's something to think about, isn't it? And again, it's easy to do. It's the easiest thing to do. When we've been wrong, slighted, cheated, hurt, injured, abused, whatever. Or if a lot of times it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but... What makes it hard for us to do that? Why is it hard for us? What makes that so hard to do? Well, a lot of things. Our desire for revenge sometimes keeps us from forgiving somebody. Right? We want them to get theirs. I got mine. You're going to get yours. Maybe I'm going to give it to you, you know. Revenge. And we can look at a lot of passages that deal with that and what God thinks about that. Our anger, just pure anger at someone over what they've done to us or what we think they've done to us, right? Our anger keeps us from forgiving people. Sometimes our own fellow Christians. Our emotions. Emotions are tough, aren't they? Makes it hard to do a lot of things. And a lot of times it makes it hard to forgive other people. Whatever those emotions might be. Sadness, anger, whatever. And one big one is that keeps us from forgiving other people is our pride. Oh, that's a nasty one, isn't it? Our pride. That's a tough one. Look over in Matthew chapter 18, if you would. Turn over there. Down in verse 21, Peter comes to Christ and he says, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. What do you think Peter thought Christ was going to say right there? Yeah, seven's good, you know. Or maybe 12. Or, you know, what do you think Peter thought Christ was going to say? Was he going to give him a number? He says, how many times? Seven? Is that good? But Christ says, I say not seven, but 70 times seven. Now, I'm not very good at math, but I have heard people, believe it or not, I have heard someone say this before in looking at this scripture, and some of you may know what I'm going to say. Well, so that means the 491st time that he does me wrong, I don't have to forgive him anymore. Right? 70 times, actually I had to get a calculator out to do that. But 491, then we're good. We're done after that. Is that what Christ is saying here? What does he mean by that? 70 times 7, that means as many times as he asked that you forgive. You forgive. Here's something else I've heard people say on this before. I'm not forgiven until he asks me to. I'm not going to forgive him till he or she or whoever until they ask me to forgive them. You ever heard that? Well, they got to ask or I'm not going to forgive them. Come on. He didn't say anything about that, did he? He just said, how often shall he sin against me and I forgive him? Not, well, as long as he asks you. In Matthew 18, if you go further down to verse 23, Christ illustrates this very, very well with this parable about the kingdom of heaven, likened unto a certain king. He says he would make a reckoning with his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I've looked at several numbers on this, as probably many of you have, as to how much money that is. You know, what's a talent? What does that mean? And on the conservative side, he owed him about $1,000. He owed him, one talent was $1,000. So if I did the math right, and again, I'm not very good at math, but it's around $10 million. That's on the low side in trying to figure out, because it was measured in weight in that day and time. A talent was. It wasn't like, okay, that's so many cents or whatever. It was weight of gold. So they try to figure it out. So on the conservative side, he owed this guy $10 million. And he didn't have it, obviously. It says, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, all that he had, payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him, forgave the debt. Can you imagine forgiving somebody of $10 million? Most of us won't ever see that in our lifetime. We might see it from afar, but we're not going to touch it or spend it, right? We might see somebody's got that much, but he just forgave him $10 million. Just, you know. But we find he turns around, look what he does. He went out and found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 shillings. And that's roughly, a shilling is roughly 17 cents, so that's around 20 bucks. Right? About $20. He owed him $20. Now, here's a guy that's just been forgiven a debt of $10 million. And this guy owes him 20. What do you think he's going to do? We all know, don't we? His fellow servant fell down, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he would not, it says in verse 30. He would not. He went and cast him in prison till he should pay that which was due. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceeding sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord called him and said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you besought me. Because you asked me to, he said. Just because you asked me to, I forgave you of it. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on your fellow servant, just like I had mercy on you? 10 million and 20 bucks. He's forgiven $10 million debt. And this guy owes him $20. He throws him in prison and treats him awfully. He says, I forgave you that. Why wouldn't you forgive him? Christ kind of is saying the same thing to us, isn't he? In the passage we just looked at. That if we don't forgive men their trespasses against us, God's not going to forgive us. And look how much he has forgiven us. Look how much God has forgiven man. You and me. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, you know that he, God, was manifest to take away sins, and in him is no sin. What's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ being manifest, God in the flesh, come to the earth to take away sin, your sin, my sin, all sin. That's what he did for you and me. All sins of mankind. And in a one-time sacrifice, we just commemorated it with what we did a few minutes ago. That's why we do that on the first day of the week, so we don't forget, so we remember what God has done for you and me. And he says, in turn, to remember that when we deal with our fellow man, right? Don't forget it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11 talks about that one-time sacrifice that Christ made, that God made in giving Christ. It says, every priest standeth day by day ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, that the which can never take away sins. He's talking about back in the day, as we would say, under the old law. And they stood every day after day after day and offering the same things and doing the same things and going through the same procedures and offering the same sacrifices. And what did it do? It wasn't good enough to get rid of sin. Well, notice what it says after that. But he, Christ, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He made that one-time sacrifice of himself for you and for me. And going back to that one big problem that we talked about, pride, that keeps us from forgiving others, doesn't it? Our pride, I'm not going to forgive him until he asks me to. That's on him. No, it's not. It's on you. And think about this. Did Christ ask you or me before he died on the cross and suffered all that? Before he died, did he ask you or me, well, I'm going to do this. Are you going to ask forgiveness if I do this for you? He didn't ask me. Did he ask you? He forgave us before we ever asked for it. Think about that. He forgave us before we ever asked him to. He made redemption available for us before we even existed. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around, isn't it? Those are the mysterious ways that God works and gets his plan done. He did it through Christ. And it's really summed up if you go over to John chapter 3 and verse 16, a verse that most, just about everybody knows. Just about everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, that's one of those verses that get thrown around, but really look at what it says. Really look at what it means. He loved the world, he loved mankind so much that he gave his only Son. He sacrificed him that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All we have to do is obey. Obey. Pretty simple, right? Pretty easy. Of course, we think saying, I forgive you, is simple too. We can't get that done a lot of times. But it's easy and it's simple. Mankind frustrates it again, frustrating the grace of God, as I believe Paul said. And we frustrate the grace of God, we make it too complicated. We want to put all these things in it and make it all hard to understand. That's what man has done over the many years since the first century when the church was established, when God made the plan through Jesus Christ. It's very simple. But we've frustrated it. We've made it complicated. We just obey. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says, Christ Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. That's all we do is obey. Go over to Psalm. The Old Testament, Psalm 103. It talks about the nature of God and how he deals with you and with me, with man in general. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? He says, who does all this stuff? He heals you, he redeems you, he saves you, he does all these things for you. Who is he talking about? The Lord. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If God dealt with us the way he probably should, would any of us stand a chance? Mm-mm. We wouldn't stand a chance. That's the best way to put it. But it says he's merciful to us. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's what he done with us, or for us, through Jesus Christ. Also in Psalm 86 in verse 5, it says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." All we have to do is obey. Very simple. Christ is that author of eternal salvation talks about in Hebrews 5. God is ready to forgive. He's always there. He's always ready to forgive if we come to him. Go back to the New Testament in Colossians in chapter 1. In verse 12, he says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." It's talking about the blood of Christ. Very simple. We have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the ability to enter into heaven, to be where there is no night, no darkness, but light, as he's talking about here. He's delivered us from darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what was done when God gave his Son, as it says in John 3:16, just like we just commemorated, to remember the sacrifice and what it means to us. Forgiveness is what it means. Forgiveness. How do we contact his blood? When we're baptized into him. Read Romans chapter 6. It talks about the similarity between what Christ did and went through and what we go through when we are baptized. It's no coincidence. It was planned that way by God. And that's how we contact the blood. And that's how we receive forgiveness. Have you done that today? Have you? If you haven't, why? Those of us who have been baptized, who are Christians, we are going to sin, aren't we? It's not an excuse, it's a fact. We are going to sin. We're going to fall short of the mark. We press for it, as Paul said, but we are going to fall short from time to time. So what happens then? Again, God is merciful. God is gracious through Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we forgive our sins, he's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We confess those things, we repent of them, we turn from them, and we try to live a life pleasing to him. Again, we have forgiveness. God doesn't leave us out in the dark, does he? He doesn't leave us hanging. He's there. He's ready to forgive. Always. But as we began the lesson this morning, how many times do we say those words? "I forgive you." Because our example is Christ, and he said it while he's being crucified. We're not going to have to suffer, hopefully, anything like that at anyone's hands, I hope. But we can't say those words for something small and petty. Think about it. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. You know, they say when somebody's bringing a lesson, sometimes they stomp on your toes. I'm going to tell you, I'm stomping on mine right now. My toes are hurting. Think about it. In Matthew 18:21, the passage we looked at earlier, How many times Seven, 70, 770, 491, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. If you're here today and you're subject to the call of the invitation, it's offered by Christ, and He is the one that paid the price. He's the one that forgives. God's always there and God's always ready to forgive. He's already done it. He's already done it through Jesus Christ. Go back to Psalm. You think that's something talking about Christ? He's taken our iniquities and separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. All we have to do, again, it's so simple. All we have to do is obey. That's it. Be baptized into Christ. Put on Christ. Accept it. Accept that forgiveness. And live according to His Word. Or if you've not done that, and you need forgiveness yet, that's offered too. God is so gracious. God is so good. God is so merciful to you and I. If you're here today and you're subject to the call of the invitation, we ask you to come while we stand. We'll sing the song that's been selected.